Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Good evening and welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 563. Today is July 10th, 2024. I am one of your hosts, Kyle. That's Kelly on a delay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me.
Over here. I wonder what causes all that. Right. It's so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know.
But why don't we get into guns? And Kelly, why don't you start us off?
All right, let's try this out. What I did in guns this week, I didn't go to the range last week at all, but that's okay. Prior to the deadline, I was able to order my new Ontario hunting license, because you have to renew it every couple of years. So I ordered it and I got it in the mail. I also put in for my deer tag and then also the antlerless deer tag draw, which is going to be happening on August 1st. So I got in before the deadline. Super excited about that. I booked my vacation. Going to be going to the maple seed that's going to be happening this weekend at Lower Trent Valley. So super excited about that. I'm not going to be the shoot boss. So I'm super, super excited about that.
So, you get a break.
It'll be a lot of fun. The Kincaids are going. Patrick, who is going to be the sheep boss, is doing a great job with that. So we got a couple of our IITs as well. So it's going to be a full line of people as well as full line of instructors. We did a She Shoots podcast last night, and it was really super fun to do. Kelly Squared was on it. Kelly Kincaid also joined us. We were talking about Project Maple Seed as well as the ladies events that we are having across the country. Those are called Lady Seeds. So we talked about the one that we had in PEI this past month and a half ago. And the one that we're going to be having in Edmonton, as well as there's a few more that are popping up across the country. And we talked about the importance of having these. Reason is because proper instruction, but not only that, we're having events with ladies specifically where we can go and learn and have fun in an environment that's very supportive of other women. So that's some of the feedback that we got. And not only that, I like to bring pastries and treats and fruit and all kinds of really cool things. And so it's not like a real maple seed. It's a little bit more upscale, a little bit more, you know, fun for the ladies. So that's what I'm doing and have been doing. And yeah, that's about it. What about you, Adriel?
Oh, I did a couple of things. This last weekend, I did a maple seed and red deer. That was pretty good. Got to upgrade two of the instructors in training to full instructors. So congrats, Paul and Fedor, woo-hoo, for that. Yeah, yeah. They've been instructing with me pretty intensely for the last couple of years here, and they've been doing great. So yeah, they definitely earned it. And I was glad to have them both there. Had a full line. It was kind of a weird one because on the first MQT, I only had one person qualify. I was like, oh, I thought we had a whole bunch of people here ready to go. On the second one, we got one more. And on the third one, we got four more.
Oh, nice.
With only one repeat. Everyone else was like, that was their first qualifying target, was that third one, which
they dialed in.
Yeah, they dialed in, which is, it was kind of funny because they all looked melted. Like it was hot. It was a hot day. We were in the sun. There was no clouds, nothing. But they all made it through. So that was kind of neat. Yeah. Cool. That was a good time. on the drive out to the Maple Seed, I was with another instructor, and he was talking about how he's trying to sell his Athlon Helos. And I was like, oh, what are you trying to sell for? He's like, oh, this much. I'm like, oh, sold. So I picked up an Athlon Helos BTR Gen 2 in the 6-24. Not really knowing what I'd put it on, but just knowing that it's a good scope and I kind of wanted one. And then I was looking at it and looking at the accessories you can get for these, and you can get a parallax ring, something that you stick on the parallax ring that gives you, that's thick, like nice and big. And I was like, I'm not going to buy that. I'm going to print that.
Make it.
So yeah. Printed it. I need to sand this one to fit, and it's just going to go on there. And the whole idea with these is, at very high magnification, like 26 or so, the parallax is like very thin. The focal length is very thin, and it can be hard to like dial one of these things in like just perfect. So with one of these things, you get like a lot more leverage over it. So it's easier to fine adjust, and you can write on it in more precise increments, the exact focus that you've got going on as you go along. So you can either write it or put some tape or something like that there that, that has that marking on there. So I printed one for this, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll print some more for my other scopes. So I printed more for my other scopes, and I got one here on this scope here, and this one's actually mounted, so you can kind of see what the deal is there. So you can turn it and see on the back what distance it's at and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just fun stuff. You know, it cost me probably like $3 worth of filament, so who cares?
Yeah,
just fun to mess around with. In the same time, I sold him my Magpul Hunter 1022 stock because he was like, oh, I've been looking for one of these. I'm like, well, tell you what, I got one of those all sell because I've kind of wanted to upgrade my 1022 to the which stock is that? That's the Spectre Ballistics 1022 stock. You know, the one I got the coupon for at the 3-gun match. And I was like, I'm like, okay, well, I'll sell you my stock, and that means I'll have to get the other stock. And he's like, okay, done. So we did
that. And I have a coupon for it. Right?
So I bought the stock and fore-end from SBI, and then I need the back stock part of it, the one that attaches to the pick rail. I contacted Gray Birch for that and bought one of their stocks because they have actually pretty reasonably priced, like $200 for their skeletonized stock that's adjustable, cheek weld, and all that kind of stuff. So I bought that. There was another thing I bought. Oh, yeah. I had to get a mount for this thing. It's got 34 millimeter tube, and I don't have a lot of those rings. So I ordered the primary arms mount for that from Rangeview had them on like some super clearance sale, 20 MOA and on a one piece rail for $85.
That's not much.
That's impossible to find for a 34 millimeter optic mount. Now, whether it's good or not, I don't know. It's primary arms. It's, you know, going to be value priced. It's not going to, I don't expect like absolute, you know, perfection coming out my way, but as long as it holds zero. Cause what I'd really like to do is put that optic on that mount and put it on my Raven and shoot a known distance with it, because this is probably my most accurate barrel semi-automatic full centerfire rifle cartridge. Yeah, so if I can put a big bad scope on this thing and then shoot 100-400 meters with it, I think that's gonna be the ticket.
Yeah.
One other thing that came in the mail is my charging handle, my replacement one for the Raven. So there it is. And what I've done is you can't run a side charging handle on the side and the shell deflector, but I think the charging handle will act as the shell deflector because as it kind of comes back, that should deflect the cases there. I'm running both of them. I'm running both side charging handles. Because what if one of them breaks?
Okay. Oh, then I got
the other one on there.
Double redundancy, yes.
Double redundancy.
Yeah.
And if I'm, I don't know, if I'm running a corner or something like that, it's faster to grab with my right hand. Or if I'm like making clear at the end of the day, it's easier to use the right hand on this side. So I'm going to leave them both on there. I do have the rear charging handle coming soon. So once I've got that, I won't have both sides on. I'll just put one side and take the other one off. I don't need the redundancy at that point. But that should solve some of my performance issues there, some breakages. There was another thing I bought, and I can't remember what it was. Must not have been that important.
It's not in the mail yet?
Yeah, it's in the mail. I have something that's been mailed to me, but I can't remember what it was. I had like the Canada Post tracking number for it. What was it? Canada Post? Was that Rangeview? And then I have a UPS thing scheduled for tomorrow. I don't know. What is this? UPS standard. Oh, Tenda forgot 1,000 bullets. That's why. So I emailed them like, hey, you forgot 1,000 bullets. And they're like, okay, do you want a refund or do you just want us to send it? I said, send it. And then it was in the mail that day.
Yeah, bullets, please.
Yeah, I want bullets, please. So yeah. they were super quick, though. And they, like, I said to Photo, I'm like, here's what I got. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll send you another 1,000. Just, you know, what do you want? I made some ammo with a buddy of mine who's kind of getting into 3-gun and needs some ammo. So got that going. I think that's it.
Yeah. He also was on a call. Speaking of no distance, we also had a call. And then we talked about no distance we talked about it for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's because I wanted the details so I can...
I know.
Run one. I want to run
one. Give me the dates. Mm-hmm. Is what he said.
And when I run one, I'm going to be shooting it too. I'm going to do relays and I'm going to have like you shoot boss for this one. Then I'm going to go shoot it. And then we're going to do a swippy swappy and then you're going to do it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it for me.
It for you.
Yep.
Kyle.
Well, went camping on the weekend because tent and awning came in, wanted to do a quick shakedown run, so just overnight camping trip.
It looks so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way it's looking. Still got a few more things to throw on there before we go on the trip, but yeah, and it worked out great. Like with the three of us up top in the rooftop tent, yeah, it worked out great. That awning, best purchase.
It looks so cool. It's one of those ones that kind of folds out at an angle like a...
Yeah, it's a Nature Nest 270. So I was trying to upload a picture to Drive so I can actually post it. But I posted pictures to Facebook, so we'll see. I'll just quickly scroll through here. But like for shooting, like I wanted to build it for at the range... and everything, so yeah, I got let's see if this will work.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Share screen there. So
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it provides lots of shade. Like I said, I wanted it for on the range and for camping, going out, just doing some wheeling and everything, and it just, yeah. I recommend getting an awning for that for sure.
Yes, good.
Matchbook came out for Nationals. I haven't gotten a chance to look at it. I got home like 5 minutes before the show started, so. but yeah, so gonna go over that after get off tonight and make sure I am prepared for what craziness they're gonna give us, some weird stuff. But I also have a report on the jersey front. I'm gonna go on a bit of a rant with jerseys again.
You are?
I am, because I still don't have jerseys. I still can't get a hold of people. So I was kind of hesitant to say names before, but Max T, horrible. I will never use them again, you know. I first reached out because
I think that's who we used before.
Yeah. Back in 2019, they were good. Like communication and his designs are awesome. But now, like, I reached out because I wasn't really happy with the design that Go Fast, Don't Suck and that whole process was going. So I basically just said, well, geez, last ditch effort, let's send something to Max T and see. And he replied that morning. And then, well, it's been probably 3 months now. And apparently he moved to Austin. He's like, oh, sorry, I moved to Austin. And that was a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And nothing. And so just really frustrated. But a buddy of mine, fellow Timney and Hammer Armament shooter, Buddy, but I can't remember names for some reason.
That's okay.
Tyler Holman. And he posted about a New Jersey company. He had just got some in and said he was having fast turnaround times. Like his order was in 2 weeks, like from first contact. So got him to get me in touch with this company. And so I sent designs, sent my proof that I got, as well as some logos that I knew he wouldn't have. And we talked Monday morning.
Okay.
And I asked for a miracle because I was like, I'm going to Nationals. Can I have them in hand by the 16th? And he told me that they would have them shipped tomorrow night.
Wow.
Shipping. And I was like, okay, well, we still got design to go through. Like, it's custom design. We'll see what happens. Yesterday, probably by noon, I had a design in my inbox. And we had to change up like one thing because I sent the wrong logo for Cavern City Action Shooters. It was one of the other logos I had done up for it, and it wasn't the one I wanted to run on the jersey. So that was my bad.
Okay.
And so, yeah, by noon yesterday, there was an approval on the proof. And so now we'll see if I get a shipment notification tomorrow or Friday. But hopefully we have them. And I did talk to them because I told them, like, on the podcast, like, if it works out, I'll spread their name. And he says they'll ship to Canada, everything. And they're doing even custom stuff. So I got, like, on their website, they don't show this short sleeve, but I got two short sleeves, got a hoodie, and then I got them to do a sleeveless hoodie. Like, hey, can you do that? Yeah. Cool. So, So yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
What's the quantity order?
You can order one. You can order two. Like, they have preset designs.
Okay.
But obviously I'm doing custom design. He was really good about it. He waived the custom design fee for me.
Okay.
Which was amazing. Like, I wasn't asking for any discounts or anything. I was expecting to pay more because I was asking for a rush order.
Right.
But instead he gave me a discount. So, like, so far they've been absolutely phenomenal to deal with. Okay. And so.
Do you want to mention the name of it again?
Yeah, it's Sublime Wear USA.
Okay.
So I probably won't be on next week because we'll be traveling up to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. If I get good cell service, maybe I'll jump on. But my next time on, if I should have them in hand, I'll follow up on the experience and how they turned out.
Yeah. What's the material supposed to be?
So they did this new one like 6 months ago. He was saying they call it a 501. It's like a woven fabric, but it's supposed to be cooling.
Okay.
So, like, okay, well, yeah, that works. So I got the two short sleeves and the sleeveless done in that, and then just their standard, it's just your standard jersey fabric. Just for the hoodie. Because I was like, well, the hoodie's for cooler weather, not...
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the sun yet. I like the sun. That's why I got the sleeveless and that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Carlsbad, I probably won't see him Friday, but I might see him Saturday or Monday. But as long as I have him for when I leave, then I'll be extremely happy. Richard's asking, what about A-Hits Inc. for future? They do most of the IPSC stuff for the Ontario matches. Sizes are far east, which means you need to order 3 to 4 sizes above what you need, but they seem to do a reasonable job. Richard, A-Hits, was that? No, that I was thinking ABC. I haven't actually heard of A-Hits. Sizing. They seem to be true to size. Sublime. They do have their measurement graph. So I was able to take my old jerseys, measure them, and match it up with their sizing chart, which was pretty close, and I just ended up ordering the same size as I normally order. So yeah, it's like true to size. He's saying, sounds like yours is good. Can you share contact details for them? Yeah, so if anybody is looking for jerseys, reach out to me. I will put you in contact with the guy that I was dealing with, the salesperson I was dealing with. Richard also shared the website for Sublimeware in the chat. So thank you for doing that,
Richard. I'm just looking through it right now. So yeah, it's kind of funny. They're only open 8 to 2, Monday through Thursday, and closed on Fridays. However, yeah, all the reviews are pretty good. The pair looks pretty good too. So
yeah, like the design, how fast the guy got the design done.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And it was, like I said, I could nitpick, like there was a couple small things, but Rush, I'm not going to change that, and we'll see how it turns out in print. But they're super willing to work on the custom cut stuff. Like I said, on their website, they didn't show us a short sleeve. And then, I mean, I didn't think it'd be too difficult, the hoodie without sleeves, just make the hoodie, but don't put sleeves on. But they're right away, yeah, absolutely, we'll do that. And so, yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
So, yeah, so far, so good.
Maybe you should get some sub Slime Fire ones done for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some ideas rolling around. I did get the Slam Fire logo on the jersey, of course.
Aww.
But yeah, it'd be kind of cool if we could work out something where we get like a general Slam Fire design and someone could call in and order that jersey.
With their name on it or something?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We put Crystal Pepsi and some other nonsense names on there too.
I think so.
Make it a NASCAR jersey.
Unsolved Mysteries, like a bunch of weird brands from the 90s and 80s.
Cola. Yeah. Ray-Bans. No, Ray-Bans are still cool. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to do some searching for some obscure ones.
And expired. Those are the ones we need.
Yeah.
Yes, we could do that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, other than that, just I got to go through stuff. I'm going to hit the range this weekend for kind of final confirmation because, yeah, we're going to hit the road Tuesday night and bomb our way up to Minnesota and hopefully do decent at Nationals. But yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome sauce.
We will get into upcoming events. And I did not open this, but it'll take me 2 seconds. 3-gun events. So this weekend at Sherwood Park Fish and Game, they have a multi-gun. On July 19th, the Canadian Multi-Gun Series at Guelph. That's 19th and 20th. I think they do in the staff on the 19th and then the main match on the 20th. It sounded that way when Justin was on last week. July 20th, 21st, Summer Brutality at Joe Rich Sportsman Association in Kelowna. And then July 27th and 28th. My P3 Gun, Steve-O's Retirement Party. And that'll be a fun time. That'll be team match light or heavy, depending on how you look at it. And then July 28th is CDTSA 3-gun at Milo. And then we'll round out the month ahead with, on August 3rd, we have the country span. So we have Chaz 3-gun at Genesee Range. And then on the same day, we August 3rd to 5th, that whole weekend, the Niagara Regional 3-gun Championship at the Niagara Regional Sportsman Club. So, and as per always, all those are on practice score except for Mighty Peace 3-gun.
Right. I'll be at that August 3rd 3-gun match at Chaz.
Nice.
Had it off. It's a long weekend, I think. No, wait. Is it the weekend after? I don't know. I have that weekend off anyways.
That's the first weekend, so. But,
all right.
Yeah. And we'll get on to the news.
Wait, Maple Seed Events.
Yeah.
I got Maple Seed Events.
Yeah. I got them up too. So do you want to do them? No, you can do them. Okay. So North Peace River. On July 15th.
North Peace River.
Those, why do I keep saying North Peace River?
Because Peace River is a place.
And it's north.
It's in the north.
North Peace Rod and Gun Club in Fort St. John. How is that?
There you go.
Okay, July 15th. There's also a Buckley Valley in Smithers. I'm not sure if that's going on or not. Might want to look into that one in BC. That's it for July. We can get into August. So KTSA in Kamloops on August 1st. Cornwall on August 10th. Come out to that. I'm going to be attending that. Hampton Rifle and Pistol Club in New Brunswick. That's on August 10th as well. Edmonton, you got Chaz happening on August 17th. And then on August 24th, you got Bonneville in Alberta as well. So sign up for those.
And that Lloyd Minster one was canceled. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it needs to be removed.
Okay, we'll take that off. Lloyd Minster District Fish and Game Club, Alberta, Saskatchewan, because it's right on the border, is also August 31st. That's it for the next couple of months for Mableseed. Go and sign up for those. I only read the ones that still had places or spots available. Didn't read anything that was sold out.
So. Okay.
That's it.
Hunting gear or HGG firearms training. There are no spots available. They filled up. So
more or less.
Yeah.
There might be still some spots, but more or less sold out. I need to add some more dates.
At the standard fee, I'm sure if you paid a little extra, you might be able to get in there.
Oh, we'll always sneak in. Just grease my palms. That's a joke. For anyone listening, this is a joke.
If you listen to the show, just say, hey, I listen to the show.
Entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
It was announced that Prince George Rod and Gun Club will be hosting the 2026 IPSC Canadian Nationals.
Yeah.
Do you have another event coming up here that I want to announce with Wapiti Shooters Club? The Bramley Challenge will be July 19th to 21st. So if you want to go shoot some sporting clays, that is always an awesome time. It's just always an awesome time. Good people. All right. Now we'll get on to the news. And so the Chico Rifle by iRun Guns was approved. And apparently
their FRT was approved. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some rumors going around that it might be the PSA Jackal on the Nodak Spud 180 lower. I haven't seen pictures of it. You got something in there?
I got something in here. Just a second. Let me share my screen here. You can all now keep in mind this is a prototype, so it's prototype quality. But this is the PSA Jackal upper. So it's got a more reliable gas system that doesn't break parts. And that's got a 180 lower. Ish. Okay. 180-ish. Because if you look at the top there, that cut there is not 180 standard.
Yeah. Hmm.
So it might, what this might be, this was, they've been working on this for a while now. What this might end up being is a lower cost American made 180 alternative that we can get in Canada.
Yeah. And that 180 lower looks like it might actually be standard width at your for your trigger pins and your safety.
Maybe.
And there's I don't think that one got approved because there's a Omnis. Never mind. Yeah, that's your back takedown pin.
There's no third hole there.
No. Thought it was there for a second, but hey, I guess there's some precision rifle shooting competitions coming to Iqaluit.
Iqaluit. Yeah. So they're going to be, there's an article that was in the CBC. So Iqaluit is going to be having PRS up there. So they even did a little piece on Rick. Can you hear me? You guys can't hear me.
Yeah, we're fighting over who's trying to share it.
You share it. Yours was looking better.
Oh, you guys are shaking your head, and I'm going, maybe my sound's not working.
You're not reading it properly. we're fighting between the two of us, but we got it up now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's what... CBC... I know, right?
That range.
It's a little bit.
The Iqaluit's shooting range at the end of the road to nowhere. That road name seems accurate, prophetic.
Yeah. It's the tundra. Hello.
This road yeah. stops.
It's at the. It's literally at the end of the or at the end of the city. Well, it's not really a city. It's a Kalo. It's the biggest place up north, but yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting news.
CRPS is going to hold 4 matches there at the this summer and fall. First competitions for July 20th, and they got some quotes from local shooter Liam Burrows in here, and they've got some quotes from Rick Kataback, who we might have.
Look at that picture of Rick.
What a pro.
Oh my goodness, eh?
What a professional.
It's his LinkedIn picture.
They pulled his professional photo there.
Yeah.
Well, good for them, and good for him, and good for the organization, and good for Iqaluit.
Hey, yeah, if anybody really cool. has a road trip in their schedule, head on up and.
Yeah, we were trying to get up there, so flights are a little expensive. Just saying, $2,000 a piece. But yeah, it's I think that's really, really exciting stuff and really cool stuff. And I'm going to tell you, though, those guys will. Kill it, and I mean they'll kill it because they're hunters up there. Yeah. If they need, they shoot off of anything, and if it's moving, they'll hit it. So they're really great shots up there. So I'm expecting really good things.
So you got flight costs, but did you check the like dog? You know,
dog sled.
Bring things in by dog sled. Yeah, that might.
Well, I interviewed a couple of dogs that are sleeping on my couch. They said no.
Those lazy, good-for-nothing city dogs.
I think it's summertime. All they do is bark. It'd be some tough dog sledding, though.
Tough dog sled? Dogs.
Well, some wheels on your
even,
sled.
Like, even look at the picture there. The snow's gone. Like it'd be some tough rough. Dog sled.
In July? Yeah, there's not. I was doing a little bit of research when the best time would be to go up there. The July is not the best time. June is not the best time. May's not the best time. If you like black flies and that.
Oh, yeah.
So May, early June, dead, hey? May, June, and July are a wonderful for that. A little bit later if you... So, like, September, August. August is good. September. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can go and... November and have a real winter seat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go into Calgary.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to, but there are people out there that would go and do that.
That enjoy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They like the 24 hours of darkness. I'm not one of those.
No. Even the 24 hours of light would be something to get used to. It'd it's be nice for the first bit, but I think it'd be too
I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
It's not. Because people's sleep schedules. I lived just north of Peace River there in a town called Manning for a while. And during the summer, it's sunlight out so late that people are like, people get their sleep schedules screwed up and they start mowing their lawn at like midnight because they're just like.
Yeah, that's why it's so awesome.
But it's awesome unless you're trying to sleep and your neighbor's mowing his lawn at midnight.
Ding dong. Here's a set of beer.
Yeah.
Kids are playing basketball at like.
I can get so much more done. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to sleep, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Presumably. But,
presumably.
One for the U.S. here.
Okay.
Interesting. I was looking into it a little bit. Don't know how I've been. On the surface, awesome. But some ammunition vending machines are appearing in grocery stores in a couple places here in the U.S.
Those gumball machines that they had weren't selling very well. They just put ammo in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, on the surface, cool. Awesome. I guess it's got AI facial recognition and everything, which, yeah, okay, you got to verify your ID and that you're actually the person on the ID. But,
yeah.
But I don't have any around me. This place is too small and, yeah. But, yeah. Interesting. And I'm sure
for that. Yeah. So for that late night ammo needs, right? You go get,
well, yeah, if,
you, go
pinch,
get your,
yeah.
you go get your milk, your Slurpee, and Nine Mil.
Yeah. I mean, we already do that. I go to Walmart and everything's there. So
true.
But,
mm.
but
I wanted the gumball machine. I was like looking into pricing of them because I have so much 9mm. I wanted a gumball machine like in the back corner.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
With some 9mm in there, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. But they're either incredible garbage or very expensive. Like the good ones are super expensive. You can't buy them used very well. Maybe I have to look for them a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Used you can get.
Even then, like,
where you get like a good used gumball machine.
Oh, gumball. Vending? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Gumball. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got, I'm sure pretty much everyone else got it. There was an email from
Boo.
Yeah. From the firearms program and more stuff from that C21 is going, getting put in. So apparently starting September 1st, barrels and pistol slides, you're going to need to have a PAL to buy them or import them. And but they're not requiring businesses to track or anything. You just got to verify a PAL.
They have to verify. So I was at Red Deer Shooting Center. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a pain in the butt. But for me, I don't really care. And they're like, yeah, but you're not us. Anytime someone buys something online, we got to go through the portal. We got to do the we got to do the login. We got to click. And you know, when you go to verify someone's PAL, it takes you 5 minutes to log in, right? And then you got to do the verification. You got to print off the verification, attach it to the file. They're saying every one of those takes them like what should be a 5 minute shipping job turns into a 15 minute shipping job.
Yeah.
Now take your person that you're paying, you know, 15, 20 bucks an hour. And now attach that new cost to every purchase online. Any purchase where there's a slide or a barrel in there.
Yeah. Well, and to add on to the back of that, like what you're commenting on, I love how they started the email off saying that they're committed to providing services that are simple, modern, and efficient.
First, get a 2FA from your bank, then put that in and log in.
Right.
And then put a 2FA from us in there because we don't trust your bank.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess there was another part to that, that they also said that the CFSC, so your PAL instructors. So, yeah. Why don't you talk on that, Adriel?
Yeah. They also meant, so I noticed when the last time I logged into a MyCFP portal, there's a MyCFP portal. I don't know if you guys know this. You'll only ever log into it once when you apply from your license, MyCFP portal, right? That's separate from the IWS, the individual web services. So this MyCFP portal, it's only got two things. Checking your license, process is, or if you're an instructor, you can submit course reports. And I was like, oh, I like that. I hate doing the paperwork and driving to the, because if I drive to AHIA to submit my course reports and my class for the whole class, it's like a 25 minute drive there, 25 minute drive back, right? It's starting to eat up the miles.
Yeah.
And I have to do it within 2 weeks of doing the class. So but it's still only by invite by the CFO. So I'm going to email a CFO and be like, I'd email them before. I'm like, yo, what's this thing? They're like, man, you can't get it. I'm like, yeah. But maybe they'll let me get it now. I'll cite the email.
Can you please invite me?
I was promised this thing. I want to do the thing where I submit the course reports online because that sounds right up my alley. Yeah.
Richard's saying that they need to have an API on the RCMP website that can allow that to be integrated and happen automatically with credentials. And he won't hold his breath. I won't either, but that's exactly how that should have been built.
Yeah.
Maybe like a single sign-on with like Microsoft or Google, like pick your one, do a single sign-on with those. No, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Just be happy that when you get an email second 2FA and they don't mail you your 2FA.
Yeah.
Right? Good Lord. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's get on to new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They got free shipping for orders over $250, and they also have flat rate shipping of $17 for orders below that $250. You can subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals.
Woot woot.
And Adriel,
right now they've got this Vortex Defender 3 MOA red dot. It's small. It's got a crenellated front. What for racking the slide off of your boot or belt buckle or your neighbor or whatever you're doing. 379. I got eight of those. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Cabela's has Score slugs on the full power one, $18 for a box of 25, which is cheaper than a buck slug. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And for the rest of it, I thought we'd just like walk through together what's showing up on CGN to see if there's anything interesting. They still don't have the dates when these things were posted. So some things have already been up here for maybe years. It's kind of hard to tell. For example, Delask, non-restricted CZN Bren 2 in 7.62x39 with two barrels. Oh, that's from May. That's not that bad. They just got some 7.62 blanks that have to coincide with the distributor having in stock of 11-inch of the Bren 2. So they're going to be making some Bren 2s in 7.62x39 in 11 and 18.5-inch. Sorry, 18.75-inch. So non-restricted and restricted barrel lengths are going to have. Cost for the complete setup is going to be $4,000, not including shipping or tax. So they're going to have that. Anything else interesting on here? Oh, the pigs, is this the full exchange? Is this the full meal deal? It is. So London Darrow Sports at Red Deer Shooting Center had these two. So if you had, if you got one of the bare bones P320s, you can upgrade them with like a full meal deal changeover, right? London Darrow, they just have like a basic one here that puts it into 357 SIG. But Red Deer Shooting Center had like the upgrade kit to make it into the Uber P320, RDSC P320 kit. Conversion kit there. Yeah, they has a couple of different conversion kits. So if you had like the basic one, you could get all the way up to like the P320 Max with Red Dot and Magwell and all the Go Fast parts on it. So you just you swap in your chassis on that, and then you've got, you know, rather than the basic P320, you've got the badass one.
$2,200.
I picked the most expensive one. I don't know if it's the one that you would go for. Like they have the P320 X5 DH3, which I don't know what that means.
DH3, that's the Daniel Horner.
Daniel Horner, okay.
Yeah, so that's like Timney has the DH3 trigger. That was Daniel Horner's thing with them.
Got it. Here's the P320 X5 TXG. These guys have more trims than like Honda. This is crazy. Anywho. There's lots of those things out there. So if you have a P320, the nice thing there is that that fire control unit can be swapped onto practically a new pistol. What else was interesting over here?
Do they still fire all on their own?
Yes. Yes, they still fire all on their own. Richard's got that zinger in there. I don't really see anything else interesting on here. Dominion's got the Sig Kilo LRF binoculars. That's Dominion Outdoors. Northern Elite has the Howa 1500 Canadian APC chassis. Oh, that does look interesting.
Yeah.
What's going on with this thing? Okay, it's a Howa 1500. What's that chassis? Canadian chassis. Who makes that?
Looks interesting.
It's not MDT. Blah, 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 blah. Luthe AR buttstock, Canadian flag design, Cerakoted chassis. Who makes the chassis, though? Buffalo River, muzzle brake. Doesn't say.
Did they make their own chassis?
I don't know. Well, it says Canadian APC chassis, but I think it's just the Canadian paint job on there that's Canadian.
Yeah.
I wonder how much the regular non-Canadian one costs, because that's interesting. Anywho.
Okay.
Yeah. I like finding new good stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we'll get on to the main topic. And we'd do tonight's topic on three-gun shotguns.
Because why not? Yeah, I don't think we've ever done it before, have we?
I know we've talked a lot about three-gun shotguns, but I don't know if we've done a dedicated topic to three-gun shotguns.
I don't think so. So just some random Turk shit shotgun, right? That's all you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So Kui? Pump actions.
Kui 84, break action.
Don't laugh.
First off, you're looking for reliability, and I would say a pump action. There's, I, somebody could be running something out there that, you know, will negate this. But I think there's really only two out there. That's the 870 or the Benelli Supernova.
Right.
Or and even the 870, or... like the Supernova's, I think, king for the pump actions.
And real king would be the Nova Speed, like the tricked out Nova Speed. Yeah. I've seen a couple of those at three gun matches. That's the like pimped out version of that.
Yeah, that's all the work that you need to do to it to besides those fancy versions of the shotguns and that, every shotgun you're gonna be doing work to make it viable and efficient for three gun.
Right.
You know, you want to get to semi-auto. Tube fed. I mean, you got at the top end, I'm going to say you got the Benelli M2, mm-hmm. the Beretta 1301. Mm-hmm. You could even throw the A5 in there because it's a reliable shotgun and it's got a cool feature set that the other ones people haven't been able to reliably put in. Mm-hmm. That's the auto lifter. So that, and all three of those shotguns are pretty much around the same price point. Like you're going to be looking between $1,500 to $2,000 for those.
Yeah.
The cheap side, you got the Stoeger M3K.
Yeah.
Used the Gersan MC312. There used to be more options like the Versamax and that kind of thing, but I wouldn't consider them anymore with Remington going bankrupt.
And the Versamax is an option, and that's kind of like your middle ground, like because they were running about like $1,200 to $1,400 for a Versamax. But yeah, on your bottom end, you got the MC312, you got the Stoeger M3K. What else was there? There's the Black Aces, but I have trouble saying that because I haven't had my hands on one yet to see just how decent or not it is.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
So like, yeah, those Stoeger and the Gersan, like those are going to be running, probably between $8,000 and $1,000 for the shotgun.
The Gersan MC312 you can get for $460, $470.
Oh yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah, that one's quite a bit cheaper, but there's a couple of hinky things you got to do to, like the tube extension on it. It's Nova but modified, right?
The Gersan. I believe that was the Supernova. The Supernova tube nut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mossberg 940 JM? No.
I would not recommend.
Or the 930.
The 930s were notorious for it, and while they got a little bit better, and like I said, somebody could have one and it runs fantastically, but overall I've seen the 940s, they haven't done great.
And the jams and the problems that they've had are more catastrophic. Like some of the other ones, you'll run into a jam every once in a while. If I don't keep this thing like oiled, it might not cycle all the best for me. As long as I keep it oiled, it's fine. Now compare that to, I got a buddy of mine who has a 930. He has to keep that thing spotless. Absolutely spotless and well lubed, and then it still jams on them some of the time.
There's
a big difference between like it's got to have a little bit of oil in there versus like it's got to be spotless and oiled. And like I think a lot of the inertial shotguns are going to be a little bit cleaner and run a little bit better on that side of things. Like even the 1301, great action, I really like it, but that piston needs to be cleaned every 1,000 rounds at least. And there's little holes in it, and if you don't clean those little holes on it, it doesn't work. So you do need to keep that. You do need to scrub those out pretty well.
Yeah.
The 940, it's gas. I've seen it break parts on people, like break crazy parts that brick the gun in a course of fire at three gun. And I see very few other shotguns brick like that, other than some of the open guns right now are the Bullpup Turk shotguns. And they're hard to keep running.
Yeah.
That's a charitable way of describing them.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything for the open shotgun because I haven't been like it. The Tavor 12, is that available in Canada?
I don't know.
There are a couple.
They wouldn't be the one.
We'll call
use.
Them open because they're a detachable box mag shotgun. That's what makes them an open shotgun. Yeah. But pretty much everything available is a bullpup, unless you get like a modified. Like I know Mossberg and even 870, you can get the adapter.
So you can run the sticks on it?
They actually have like the detachable box mag. They're built for it. So
I've seen, okay, if you want to talk about box mag, the Mossberg 590M, that's the one that takes the stick mags or the drum mags, the 20 rounders. And I know a couple of guys who run those, and they do run. You just need to make sure that you get one that has a choke on it, because otherwise those 20 rounds won't do anything to the steel. Yeah. But that puts you in open. And in open, you're going to be competing with the guys who are going to be, you know, going a lot faster with the semi-automatics. Yeah. So I don't consider it like competitive.
So we've listed out some brands and models. I think I want to take it back, and because there's other shotguns out there, obviously, but the criteria for what would make a decent three-gun shotgun, or what in my mind a viable three-gun shotgun. So we've already gone over reliability. It's got to be reliable. Availability of aftermarket parts, that's the one that's going to get, because there's a lot of reliable shotguns out there, but people don't make the parts for them. So probably the big one is the magazine tube. You're good, even in Canada, you're gonna want to get an extension on there. Couple samples here, like you got Nordic Components, and Nordic Components is nice because you can order the tube and then you can order a separate nut for whatever gun, basically. So you can have one tube and you want to run a couple different guns, you can buy just the nut and transfer your tube over, or you can have your Canadian and US tube, whatever. Then there's Briley. These are just samples I have here. Briley is, it does have the nut as well. It's not as easily changed. Cause like when I actually got this one had the nut for the Browning A5. I didn't shoot that. They were willing to send me the Benelli one, but it's not as easy to change out. It's a little more Gucci cause it's carbon fiber, but, Briley makes a bunch of options as well. But finding an option in Canada, that you're probably going to have to go through the time and effort to get the import-export paperwork done, because there's not many companies just bringing them in anymore. So like Nordic used to just ship to Canada. They don't anymore.
TACORD has a bunch of Nordic stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Tactical Ordnance. So you mentioned reliability, aftermarket, specifically like the tube is really important. I think the rest, like you don't need a different trigger. You don't need a different buttstock on it. You may want a bigger like bolt drop on it.
Yeah, they're bolt release. I would recommend a oversized bolt release, oversized charging handle. You may not use them often, but they're nice when you use them. A match saver or stage saver.
Yeah.
And that can be attached to any handguard. And what that does is it just holds another round there. So if you go to bolt lock, you have one target left, pop that in there, take your last target. If you have more than that, just do a load.
And that looks something like this. You pop that in there and then you hit your button.
Yep.
Look at you.
Practice. Kyle practices, dude. I just have my dummies handy.
Yeah. Mine were still in the box. Other upgrades. So, aftermarket. Oversized safety is another one. It's having an oversized safety so that you can be right on there and at the start, boom. You know, you're not having to reach in for it. There's a bunch of others like trigger guards. I would not worry about the extended lifters. There was a big hoopla and they were very popular. And this is actually one of them. This is a Terran Tactical extended lifter. But the idea of that was to get rid of your thumb bite. So when you're sticking your shells in there and you go to pull your hand out,
and
your thumb gets bit in there.
Yeah.
But as I'm just demonstrating, even with the extended lifter, when your port is cut out, you can still get that.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest thing that to do to your shotgun, besides just buying parts and putting them on them, is the load port. So got mine here, and you can see there's the follower.
Yep.
You want that nice and open and as ramped as you can.
It's quite aggressive.
This is pretty much taken as far as it can without going with a captured follower.
Right.
And you really got to watch this side. If you're going to do it, watch this side and your follower retention ridge in there. It's really hard to show on camera. I don't think I'll be able to, but you take that out, you'll feel a little lip where your factory mag tube joins a receiver. There's a lip there, and that's actually there to retain this follower.
Mm.
So you start hogging it out. That's the edge you want to watch for right there. You've got to keep maintain some there, and there's not much left on this one.
Okay.
But the reason why I say don't worry about the extended lifter is because if you quad load properly, what should happen is your hand should just go right past. Shouldn't be sticking your thumb. It should just glide right past. And so a normal forked lifter, whatever, it doesn't matter. So that's a part that I think don't save your money. Don't bother buying it. Sights. There's lots of different options for sights.
Yep.
This is the Briley that got machined on here. I can actually. This is what I had before. It's the Hi-Vis sight. What's really nice about these is they come in a pack and they come with screws for pretty much every shotgun out there. So there's different shotgun manufacturers use different threads for their front bead.
Okay.
You're going to want a big fiber optic there. And so the Hi-Vis pack is really nice because it comes with all the screws that chances are it's going to have a screw to replace the sight on your barrel, right, basically whatever shotgun you have. So, chokes, very important. You're going to be playing with chokes. Your factory chokes, I'm sure they're going to be just fine. I still got to go out and do the testing. There are like Briley ones that are twice as long and supposedly pattern better, but your factory chokes are going to be fine. Rear sight.
You just need to be able to have them. You need to be able to, like, you can't get something that's got a cylinder bore. You need modified full IC.
Well, if you're going to do Ipsic shotgun, you're going to need a full 3-gun. Not really.
Once in a while, there's a stage where it's like everything's super tight, or you need to hammer a spinner and a full comes in handy. Otherwise, I just leave my mod or my IC, whichever one was in there. I just leave it in there.
Yeah, so I would say IC, mod, and improved mod are like three key ones. Get a full if you can, get a light mod.
Yeah.
But I mean, in my choke pack, I have three chokes now. And that's, I think I got a mod, an IC, and a diffusion. If I was going to do some Ipsic shotgun, I'd pull my factory tubes out and I'd be running a 5-choke kit. But for right now, like a 3-choke kit works. I would get at least a 21-inch barrel. 18-inch barrel will work, but you're going to have, and I've seen it, you're going to have to choke up at least one level more than basically anyone else. And pistol grips, they're not. I personally would stay away from a pistol grip shotgun.
It gets in the way. If you want to load weak hand and you got it up like this and you're turning it like that, that's where that pistol grip's going to be, right here as you're turning it over.
Yeah,
so it gets in the way as you're doing that or like trying to do this stuff and move around with the gun. It's better to have something that's a little bit more streamlined. I wouldn't want a pistol. I ran a pistol grip on one of my 3-gun shotguns for a while and I stopped.
I tried it out for loading that, and not even just the manipulation, hindered when I went to go actually make the load.
Yeah,
I had to come in sharper, at a sharper angle to the lifter, and so more chance of shells flipping around and whatnot. Other mods you can do, lightning your bolt. It looks cool, lightning and titanium nitride. I don't know if it's quite necessary. Something to keep in mind, and this is especially important for Canada, the Benelli bolt, you are going to have to modify.
Okay.
Or, as I'm saying this, maybe I'll pull this apart and show it, because when you go to rack, your bolt goes back, your lifter comes forward. And what's going on here? Things are changing. But the Benelli bolt actually has two notches in it. So for a ghost load, what you would do is, okay, lifter goes up, you'd reach in, pop that lifter back down.
Yeah.
On a factory bolt, you go forward a little bit more, and you see right there, it lifted a second time. Now, I got this set,
of course, now,
that, so you can either weld that second notch, just fill it right in, or you can just smooth it out. On this one, it's smoothed out, so if you push that down, you put your shell in on the lifter, that's got enough pressure that it won't go back up. So now you have your ghost load, which is one on the lifter.
Okay.
So that's really important for Canada because of mag laws.
Yeah.
So
I guess the other thing to mention is that you definitely wouldn't want a shotgun that's made for 2 3/4 inch shells.
Yes. Yeah.
And not because you wouldn't shoot them, but because of mag capacity.
Yeah. So you'd want a 3 or 3.5 inch chamber. So
depending on what law you want to follow.
If you go by Sammy's spec on a rolled crimp for either a 3-inch or a 3.5-inch, you can get 5.9. That's kind of like the number, 5.9 3-inch, which happens to fit 7 2 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the same thing on the 3.5-inch, that ends up giving you 8 2 3/4. Shells, and that is using the Sammy spec measurement. So that is gaming the system, as it were,
because it will fit more than it'll fit 6 3-inch shells if you do that. If you find some, they'll
yeah.
fit.
Yeah, they it will fit. So that's why the Sammy spec is the absolute maximum length. No manufacturer makes them to Sammy maximum. Mm-hmm. So, other stuff, I mean, Cerakote jobs and that, but just for functionality, one mod I did, and Briley actually started doing this, was an extension on, let's see if I can get this closer without breaking monitors, on your bolt drop. So I've welded a little tab off to the side to allow my thumb my thumb to hit that. Let's see. Try to get a better.
Whoa. This is the first I'm seeing of this.
Oh, you never saw that before?
Mm.
So
I actually have.
So your factory shell drop is going to look like that.
Yep.
It's just a bar. Unloaded starts, or if you happen to run dry, especially a loading weekend, you're going to drop your bolt, do your quad load, and then you're going to come back, hit the shell drop, and rack your bolt. So I welded a tab on there so that when I come back to hit it with my thumb, I give more purchase to hit it with my thumb.
Hmm.
Okay.
And thought it was really cool because Briley has now actually started making them. It took about 5 years for someone to catch on, but they're doing it now.
Cool. Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Okay. Other stuff. Well, if you're going to run a tube shotgun, you're going to need caddies.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have two options, one cheaper and one Gucci. I know Adriel's got some extra cheaper ones.
I got cheaper and Gucci. Mine just came in. That was the other thing I forgot.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so I've got.
Are those your Alibaba eights, ones?
I got fours. Yeah, these are the Alibaba ones. Yeah.
So and, those Alibaba ones are the similar style to these in Vitkis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the Rack 12, and it's 12 shells stacked up. It is nice, especially when you're learning, because they put them at different heights. Yeah, there's a I can't remember what they called those. That's their chest rig, which is basically a plate of Kydex or plastic. Which what I did with mine when I had mine is I took like a garage stool and a heat gun, and I strapped that around the garage stool for 24, 48 hours to get a curve in it. And then I always stored it with that belt tightened up so it had that curve, so it wasn't any force to actually curve it around my belt.
I like the little bit of tension that this thing gives me when I torque it in, because then it just helps hold it in place. I want the extra tension.
Yeah. I would stay away from like the TACCOM, like the spring style caddies. For one, they take up a lot of space in between the shells. Okay. And like the old AP Customs, those springs require.
TACCOM also has this style too, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Carbon Arms was another good one. And that one, it didn't separate them into quads though. It was all just you build your custom unit, and it was just single stacks that you lined up, which it just takes a little bit extra practice. So, and then we'll go into the Gucci stuff for examples. I have, I got the mag loads.
Oh, nice.
So this is the old style. They have the Nexus Pro now, and they actually have ones, which I gotta try and get my hands on. They actually make ones that are spring loaded, so they fold in on themselves. So if you have to go prone or something, you're not laying on your caddies. These are extremely, extremely well built and well thought out.
I thought you were going to say expensive.
Oh, well, they're expensive as well. Yes. they are expensive. They're
well built and laid out.
Yeah.
And so expensive.
And actually handled really well, because Adriel shot with me. I expect my gear to withstand abuse, and I make sure I try to abuse it. And these have held out really great. One test everyone likes to do is the chop test on the middle. They hold really good, but like their pull off is like butter.
But what do they cost?
I can't remember. I know I have probably over in my three caddies probably about $1,000 worth.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I got the 12, I have an 8, and then I believe this is the 24.
Nice.
So I got this 24. This is your Gucci chest rig. And so they basically have a mag load again. They have like a modified weight belt with a seat belt buckle. And the Velcro actually is really nice. So they give you this Velcro, and it's just a Velcro piece to put on, and it surprisingly holds really well.
Okay.
So I don't know what those AliExpress shell holders cost.
$20?
No, they wouldn't cost just that much. They're $35. I believe that's with shipping.
Yeah.
That's for the eights. The fours are kind of interesting too. If you've got a stage with just a couple of slug shots, kind of nice to use. But can I show the auto load? If we're going to get into that, if we're talking about Gucci, boy, this is Gucci. You're empty, and you would load in tier three with a quad load. So you load it in, and it just auto load that shell.
And that is so fast. That's a lot faster than the one that was built for the M2. Mm-hmm. The dam too had a delay. It didn't hold me up, but yeah. So
this one's instantaneous.
I got some pricing up for mag load. It's all in British pounds. So actually, so yeah, the 24 unassembled is 200. So that's this guy was 283 pounds. So I don't know if someone has a converter out.
283 British pounds?
Yeah.
That's $500 even.
The 8, which I didn't show, is 95 pounds. And that's their Nexus Pro. So the Nexus Pro has like a titanium plate, but it's also a lot smaller. So if you look at the back plate in relation to the caddies versus their what they're calling the Element, there's a lot of overhang on the Element. So I'm going to go back and go to the Element and see what the 12 was. Because the Element is cheaper. And they don't offer so that was 79 pounds. So it's a fair bit cheaper than the Nexus Pro stuff. But I want to show. You can check it out. It's magload.co.uk, and you can see everything they have there. They have a bunch of stuff there. And as far as the Gucci stuff goes, those are the ones I like the best. There's Easy Load as well, and King Competition. Big differences is Easy Load has a cup that holds the bottom, that goes around the bottom of the shell. So for when you're pulling it out of the caddy, instead of pulling it straight out, you kind of got to do a rocking motion. So rock the top out, and then you can pull the bottom. At the same time, if you pull them straight out, you're going to lose your bottom shells. The King Competition, the springs are external. So in these springs, they're all internal. On the King Competition, they actually extend out the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So, and I believe they have a similar cup design on the bottom for holding the shells in. So that was just my personal preference. Lots of people shoot the others and love them. I really like the mag load. So.
Yeah, so that's your... That's your personal preference for holders. Okay.
If you're going to get into IPSC shotgun, besides the Stage Saver, one good one is, and this one is from Magload. I'm sure there's other companies that make them, but this one is dirt cheap. It's called an Option 3 loader. So Option 3 is your unloaded shotgun. And okay. So this is actually comes with a piece of Velcro that you're supposed to stick just outside your port. So Option 3, you can have your bolt locked back. So that will hold the shell. Let's actually do that.
Does it just hold it there so you can slap it in and hit the button?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there. I have a shell on there now. I'll just hold it with my finger. And it's just designed so you just boop. Pop that in there.
Okay. Okay.
So, realized that after Shotgun National, so I bought it and I haven't done another IPSC match, so it never made its way onto the shotgun.
It's still not on the shotgun, right?
No. But it's nice because it attaches with a piece of Velcro, so you don't need it. You pull the piece off. You still have Velcro there, but just it's a soft Velcro. It's not the coarse end.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of your basics for three gun shotguns and
kidding whatnot. It out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean and you can go absolutely crazy and you can get, you know, the Briley handguard with all the M lock, get the machine sight. If you got a machinist buddy, you can do a dovetail. And look, for years, guys were using just the flip down 1022 rear sight.
Okay.
You know, same thing. You know,
Yeah, like the bare minimum, like if you're going to really shoot three gun, the bare minimum would be a tube, like an extended tube, and a cut down loading port. Like those are the two things you would absolutely need. The rest of the stuff, like I can make do with a crappy bolt release. I can make do with a crappy safety, all that other kind of stuff. But I'd need like the tube extension for the extra shells, because the difference between 5 and 7 is huge. The difference between 5 and 9 is, oh my God, might as well be a completely different shotgun. The loading. Yeah. The loading is slow, so a nice open loading port is always going to be nicer.
Well, and like I said, you can go absolutely hog wild. I was pricing out, and so that's an easy trap to get into is just, oh, I got to have this part. I got to have this part. I got to have this part. I mean, yeah, okay, I have a tricked out one. I've also been running this shotgun for 10 years.
Right.
So it's been 10-year build at this point. But I was pricing out parts if I just playing around because I wanted to see, okay, if I built a budget three-gun shotgun, if I built like the what I would consider like the lunatic extreme three gun shotgun, I stopped when I hit $5,000 in parts.
You stopped, or you stopped counting?
I just okay. I just stopped.
Okay.
One day I want to build that shotgun, but I mean that is high end everything. Like that's the Roth performance receiver, which especially with the in advent of modified, awesome, because it comes with a pick rail machined into the receiver. You know, that's going to be harder to get into Canada. But, I mean, you can go hog wild, but you don't need to. Like Adriel said, mag tube, port.
Port, yeah.
You know, that's your bare minimum. Next, I would say stage saver and oversized controls.
Okay.
After that,
I've been making do without the oversized controls.
Yeah, you don't need the oversized controls. I don't think I need it. I like having them because when I do need them, I want them. Well, if you're loading dry on the clock, having the oversized bolt release and oversized charging handle make a difference.
If you're not running a shotgun.
If you're not running an A5, yes.
If you have an A5, you never use the controls. I zoom at the start of the stage and at the end. When I load and when I unload, but everything else I don't really need.
Yeah. And then, just buy a cheap set of go buy those Alibaba shell holders, especially to start and just practice. People are going to say, oh, my hands aren't big enough to do quad load. Practically anybody can quad load. It's practice. Practice and coordination.
That I do not have.
But anything else you guys can think of or ever for three gun shotguns? Well, I guess go over pros and cons. Like, guess last thing, like when you're deciding your shotgun, whether you want a piston or inertia, because I think that does make a big difference.
Yeah, someone had recently asked me about that. Why even go for inertia if piston like runs faster and can be a little bit lighter up front, but
so inertia is going to run cleaner. You're going to be able to go much. You're going to be able most inertia shotguns. You're going to have to clean once a year. And that's even on a heavy competition year. You're going to have to a true breakdown clean like once a year, a piston gun. You're going to be doing it every 1 to 2,000 rounds. Yeah. Piston gun.
I think with an inertia, the depth of clean is going to be low as well. You're just going to all I'm doing right now is wiping the outside
wipe down the
body here.
Yeah.
It's all cruddy, but I wipe that off when I wipe the inside of the receiver, and I might not even take the bolt out of the bolt body for the whole year or maybe even two.
Right. Yeah. Speed. Yeah. A piston gun, a gas gun typically runs fast, has a faster available cycle rate than an inertia gun. That being said, there's not many people in competition hitting their targets that are going to outrun most of the inertia guns. Some of them, but like the Benelli M2, not many people are going to outrun that in competition and be hitting their targets. You can outrun it just dumping rounds, but
and when you say outrun, you mean like firing so fast that the gun can't keep up. You get a click, yes. Or you don't get a trigger press when you think you should have.
Yeah, you're pulling the trigger. You're able to pull the trigger faster than the gun can cycle.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you're just dumping rounds, yeah, you can do that. But actively in competition at targets, it's extremely rare to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Inertia guns also tend to be lighter. With that, you, as a general rule, you end up with a little bit higher felt recoil. You know, mm-hmm. You get something like the Gersan or the MC312. They're gonna kick you. It's not going to be super bad. Like, it's not like shooting like magnums or something. But
and a pump's going to recoil like just as much anyways, right?
Yeah. As far as like the Benelli, if you get the Comfortech stock on there, that thing is an engineering marvel. I would put my shotgun up against any gas gun for felt recoil. It's awesome. I don't know. I haven't had much time behind the A5. How's the A5, Adriel?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic mostly because the auto load works every time. And as long as you keep it clean, it's fine. Like, as long as you keep it, like, mostly clean, I would say.
What about
it
for felt recoil, like, compared to, like...
I don't know. They all feel the same to me. Unless you're shooting, like the Versamax, it's fucking heavy and it's gas. Yeah, it recoils less. It feels like it recoils less. But in a competition, I don't feel that. I don't feel the difference between, like, a very light shotgun and a heavy one while I'm competing. It doesn't make a difference to me. I care more about reliability, how easy it is to load and all that kind of stuff. And the A5 is very easy to load.
Yeah, like I care about the weight of the shotgun. I mean, you're holding that thing out there, you're getting beat with shells. You're probably the most tense on a shotgun because it's got the most recoil that you got to use your muscles to tame it and
you can shoot
to get
it
back
fastest.
Yeah, so you're already putting that energy into mitigating the recoil. Then to add having a heavy shotgun that you have to hold up and try and swing fast and stop fast. So if you can find the right balance of a light shotgun that has a low felt recoil, then you're get gold.
Well, I mean, like, I guess that would be the 1301, wouldn't it? The 1301 is fairly light and it's got fairly low recoil.
Yeah, and not every shotgun's perfect. The 1301, it's a deep receiver, so your port cut isn't going to be as shallow. You're going to have a more aggressive ramp at the end of your stroke, your load stroke. But it's still a great shotgun. Just every shotgun has its pros and
cons. Yeah.
You know. I think the last thing I want to say and stress, and because it's really, the shotgun is a reloading game. I mean, there's no denying that. So when you're buying a shotgun, you know, if you're going to buy a ready-built shotgun that's being sold as a three-gun shotgun, you got to look at that port and you got to make sure that you actually can see the follower and that... I like to look in the valley of the cut be even with the shell catch. Because that means your thumb is at the lowest at the point. Your shell's going to catch on that shell catch and stay in your tube. There's a lot of really shallow cuts that they look great, but they don't do what's intended. So it sucks to see. I've had a bunch come across my bench where people have bought them. Or a competition shotgun, and they realized that the port wasn't cut near enough. It was basically a polished factory port. And so they just spent the premium money for this three-gun shotgun and then paid me another $300 to open their port.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks. Sometimes you're better off just to buy a factory shotgun and either do the work yourself or pay to get the work done than buying the premium for a gun that you're going to send away to get further worked on anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
So, yeah, I think that pretty much does cover three gun shotguns now. I mean, obviously we can go, Adriel and I could go into a lot more depth on that, but that gets it all out there.
This is my kid's three gun shotgun, and it's terrible for a couple different reasons. One is the gel latch is like the hold open is right there, which is on the other side.
Yeah.
There are no extension tubes for this shotgun that I can find. Maybe that fits something else. But at least it has a custom bolt release there.
Yeah.
It's a coin that I've riveted on there so you can just slap it. Nice. And they know how to do that. But it's only really to keep them until they're up on the 12 gauge. My older one's on the 12 gauge already. Now the younger one's using this one. And as soon as they're done with this, I might have to get that MC312 going because well, the other shotgun's at A5. And I don't really want to go to a competition with two shooters and one set of guns.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. Richard saying, given her heritage, it's no surprise Lena knows how to quad load at speed. Good video for this. He posted it in the chat. And yeah, that's a prime example for, you know, a small person managing a shotgun and quad loading like the champ she is.
Yeah. I think she's been doing it since she's been able to walk as well, though.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard did email in about that APC. It's made in Australia, a cheaper version to Howa's HCR, which is made by Accurate Mag in the USA. APC stands for Australian Precision Chassis.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, why don't we get on to listener feedback? And I'll read this one because it's got both of you in it. So.
Oh, hello.
Actually, you know what? This is going to be fun for Kelly. Kelly, why don't you read it?
Oh, you're really going to get me to go there? Let me get into the show notes. dum, dum, dum. Oh. I heard Adriel mention that he was waiting for his reclassification of his Raven 5.56. I built a short barrel 9mm version of for IPSC in January. This is a version that has already been done by Taylor Reich. Paperwork all sent in and received in February. Called three times and accidentally talked to the tech that verified it and told paperwork was just waiting for on a desk to get a number assigned. That was in May. Still nothing. Maybe the pay raise they got last year wasn't big enough. Hope you have a better luck with your application. Thanks, Jeff. Also, P.S. Kelly, I like your dogs, but please shut yours up when you're on the air. Okay. Well, no. that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you knocked them out tonight.
So, yeah. Jeff, I already got my registration in. So it took 2 months start to finish. And that was with a new number. The new number was for a barrel length that they had not had on file before. So if your 9mm has a barrel length that hasn't been on file before, you do need to get that new number. But mine didn't take that long. So I don't know why yours is taking that long. Yeah. Call in again. See what's going on.
Yeah. Hound them. That actually does work.
it's so stupid, but yeah, it does. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So yeah,
of course.
Keep calling in. I only had to call in once, but yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for the email. And if you'd like to send the show an email, you can send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com and we will read it on the air. And we'll get into the YouTube comments. So we have a bunch from Tony here. It's all last week's episode. So Tony asks, at BTSA, we sometimes have emails sent to the members for new events. And then he says, I recall there is a hard plastic trigger guard that's designed for bag carry. TFBTB may have mentioned it in their summer carry videos. I would still want a hard object shielding the trigger. I think drawing speed really doesn't matter since Kyle will be starting from unloaded most of the time. Taking cover, if possible, would still be the first step regardless. Still better than drawing from trigger lock and security container though. And having something hard over the trigger, I agree. It's something to get used to. I didn't like the idea of that Tactigami holster, but after putting it together, there's barely any flex to it. That being said, actually, I think it came in the mail as we were on the show and got delivered as we were on the show, is my Crossbreed holster. So I'll be able to try that out in the fanny pack as well. Drawing speed, starting from unloaded, I'd say it matters more. Because, I mean, I got an extra step in there. And absolutely taking cover, like, yeah, I'm not going to stand there and draw and load. I'll be moving, move off the X, as they say, and trying to take cover while I get it up. But just still be training.
Hiding behind women and children.
That's how they teach, isn't it? Okay, next comment. Little Gun is designed to be a 410 powder, but is also used for Magnum pistols.
Mm-hmm. I have it because of Magnum pistol, 44 mag and that kind of thing. And 300 blackout.
Yeah. More and more I think about it, I think I'm going to make that ridiculous pistol 300 blackout.
Are you?
They're fun. So. They're fun. The cartridge works well with short barrels too. Whereas with 223, like that, you need that extra velocity. With 300 blackout, like you can do okay with a 10-inch barrel.
Well, especially because the Fifth Circuit vacated the final rule on pistol braces, so that got overturned. Mm-hmm. And it's just I think that would be one of the most ridiculous AR builds that I think I could do. I mean, I could get worse. I mean, I could, heck, do 50 Beowulf, but 50 Beowulf pistol. okay, next.
Yep.
Tony.
I'd get one if I could make the ammo. If I could make the ammo, I'd make one. Yeah. Because I could make that in 50 Beowulf. I could do an upper in 50 Beowulf, right?
You just need a barrel. Because it's still your 223 bolt. It's still your 223 bolt.
Yeah, and the mags are the same too.
Yeah.
But I think the cases are super expensive. And for 50 Beowulf, you're running 50 AE pistol projectiles. I think that's why more people use the, what's the 458?
The 458 SOCOM.
Yeah. SOCOM. More people use a 458 SOCOM because there's more bullet choice than just 50 AE bullets.
Yeah.
More appropriate stuff.
It says, you care about hearing? Sounds like you want a muzzle brake. and then this is the last comment from Tony. We got a couple from Eddie afterwards. It's a question to hosts and Alberta hunters. Active Ear Pro banned for hunting or no? I do not believe it is.
I don't think it is. So like if you read the instructions though, it's like that seems like what it would be. But at the same time, if you're wearing them for hearing protection, I don't think the fish cops are gonna like ticket you for it. This is not legal advice. It's up to you to figure out what you think is legal. But I would wear them and not worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think that they were banned. I know they flying a drone. They have that written in there. Now you can't fly. It falls under the same rules as commercial flights.
I think there's something in there about like amplified sound. Like you can't put like super secret microphones out there and like listen for the.
Transmitting sound or whatever. Yeah. I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think a fish cop with anything in his head is going to look at that and say like, oh, you don't want to ruin your hearing when you're shooting a deer. I get it.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple comments from Eddie here. It says, Kyle, I know what you're going through trying to start up a league. In my experience, for every 10 people that say they're interested and will shoot, maybe 3 will actually show. Yeah. Yeah. Are you a member of USCCA? Do you have self-defense insurance with them? No, I am not. And once I do get the self-defense insurance, I probably won't be getting it through them because just hearing, and there's certain clauses that I've been talked to. And one thing, like there was one story where a guy used a pistol to defend himself and the USCCA wouldn't cover it because they have a clause that if you committed a crime, your insurance is null and void. So you're being charged with a crime and it seemed like wishy-washy and basically like you pay for the self-defense insurance and unless it's like there's been a bunch of videos on that
and you never get to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
He goes on, I'm not a fan of family fanny packs in general, but I guess it's better than not carrying. Is there a fanny pack that's held closed with Velcro? That may be quicker to deploy. Just rip down, reach in and draw into draw. As for carrying across the chest, I think having the strap over the left shoulder would give a better draw angle. Yeah, I wasn't even a fan with the idea at first, but I've been doing it, and even after the dry fire and that, like I'm feeling better with it. Yeah, obviously I would want it on my person, but I'm kind of liking the fanny pack. I don't know if I would really trust the, I mean, it depends on how good the Velcro is. I mean, you also want it to be inconspicuous. You don't want, I don't want the super tactical looking one. Not so, I don't know. It'd be cool to see someone do it and see how secure it is. So, you know, if you just randomly catch on something, it doesn't just flop open. And I agree. Yeah. It, over the left shoulder could give a better draw angle. All stuff to try. Very valid points. And then the last comment tonight is Adriel. Dick Cheney did shoot his buddy, or former buddy, Harry, in the face and neck. Harry was an old man back then at 78 years old. I've seen clay pigeons broken at 50 to 60 yards with 7.5 shot, so it may have been possible that a pellet went through the thin skin in his neck and traveled down to his heart.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about. Yeah. Entirely possible. We just like had an extended conversation about it.
Yeah.
mostly because I found it interesting.
And are the links fixed on the website? No?
I'll get to it someday.
It's a no.
Yeah. Well, you can check out the site from time to time, and we're still recovering from getting screwed over on those links, but you know, sometimes there's links on our website to both Cabela's and Brownells. They're affiliate links, so it won't cost you anything extra, but we'll get a little extra kickback when you do your online shopping. Also like to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player. You can find the shows up there, and if you'd like to support us, you can support us on those sites as well. And shout-outs. Anybody got any shout out?
Paul and Fedor for coming out and kicking ass at Maple Seed, all these many events we've done together.
That's awesome. Yep. And I'd like to give a shout out to Kelly Kincaid for coming on She Shoots yesterday. Everybody go and have a listen.
I'm going to shout out Tyler for putting me in contact with Sublime and potentially getting my jerseys done.
Cool.
So, and with that, we are going to sign off. So go join our Discord server, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Night.
Night, everybody.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, time to get a gun.